Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to episode 261 of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
In the short time we've been doing these interviews, it never ceases to amaze me of the health challenges people have to endure in their lives. And to me, what is equally amazing is how many people overcome many of these challenges with cannabis, or at the very least, cannabis helps them deal with their health issue. Today, we'll hear the story of a woman diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma at the age of 21. You may recall that Hodgkin's lymphoma is a type of lymphoma in which cancer originates from a specific type of white blood cells. It was named after the English physician Thomas Hodgkin, who first described the condition, believe this, in 1832. And joining us from Israel to tell her story is Hajit Yagoda. Hajit, thanks for doing this. We very much appreciate it.
Hi, thank you so much for having me with you. I'm really appreciating, all excited about it.
Hajit,
to tell the story.
Hajit, what was your health like as a teenager?
Well, I grew up as a kind of sick a person, but in the other end, I'm tall and beautiful, so I didn't understand why I was supposed to live like that. I used to dance a lot, and I was a dancer in my teenage, but I was very, very sick all the time, and they didn't understand what it is, and all the time, I've been in and out in hospitals and stuff like that, but they didn't diagnose me till the age of 21. In Israel, we're going to the army in 18. So I was in the army 1.5 year, and then they saw I was too sick, and they released me from the army to do some tests to understand why I'm so much of a sickness. And then they find out that I have this kind of cancer, which is a tricky cancer. It's attacking on all the cells. I was like all over my body. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know exactly what to do with me with this information. My father... Sorry?
No, I was just going to say, you're 21 years old. You're in the prime of life. And... when you were told you had Hodgkin's lymphoma, how did you react to this emotionally?
It was two ways of reaction. Actually, my father died at the time, and I passed out on his grave, and they took me to the hospital, and then they find out that I'm nearly going to be dead in this stage that I'm on. So it took them almost 3 weeks in order to tell me and my mother what's happened with me. So in the beginning, I would look to them and I start to cry, and I asked them to light up a cigarette, and they said, okay, you have a cancer already, you do whatever you like. and then they saw that I'm making fun out of it, and they said, I don't know, maybe you don't understand what's going on, or maybe you are protecting yourself from this news, but you'd look the one that you were going to fight this away. So I did. What happened, I used to smoke a hashish in Israel. Hashish was very popular those times. It was 1989 that we're talking. 1987, sorry, that we're talking about. And in 1987, hashish was popular in Israel. We didn't know what cannabis is. Everybody thought that hashish is hashish and cannabis is a plant by himself. They didn't know ever the idea that it's coming from the same plant as a cannabis. At the time, I was a smoker, and at the time, Professor Meshulam was discovered at the THC in the Hebrew University in 1966, I believe. So 20 years after, they started to use THC, synthetic THC on cancer patients in order to reduce the pain and the vomiting on the chemotherapy treatment. So they started on me, but they didn't tell me and my mother that they do this experience on me. And I developed a very, very bad allergy on my hand when on the vein when they put the chemotherapy with this THC synthetic. So they were like trying to figure out what's happened here, because they didn't understand that chemo doesn't have any allergy. So at the time, my doctor was a very outstanding oncologist, and she said, okay, we treat her with the THC synthetic. So I told them, what? I'm a smoker. I don't need this. So I was the first one in Israel. They allowed me to come to the hospital with my water bung and my pipe, and I was smoking and having a chemotherapy. After a very, very bad experience that they put me in chemotherapy and radiation in the same treatment. We were like about 25 kids. They were trying this and most of them died. We left about six people. The people had the cannabis along with the treatment.
Those were the ones that were left?
Yes.
Okay. So the people that were having cannabis along with their treatment, were they having the synthetic cannabis or were they having the actual cannabis?
Actually, the actual cannabis, I think I'm the only one who used that. We were 10 people around hospitals around Israel. We didn't know at the time about each other. And okay. I think all of those 10, five of us was smokers and the rest were the synthetic things.
Mm-hmm. So obviously in your experience for yourself personally, synthetic was not the way to go and was causing all sorts of issues.
Yes, and thank God for that. They allow me to use the hashish, and I understand the power of instruction of the plant. I understand how much the plant hashish is kind of in structure. So I start to learn and I understand what is this plant and what is I'm using and how come I'm different than the rest. So little by little, I went all over the books and then it wasn't that much of the internet and stuff. And I start to learn and study. And I learned to study because I have the certificate from the hospital to do that, which there was like only 10 people around Israel who could do that. The rest of them went to jail if they're using hashish or cannabis.
So hashish was illegal in 1987 in Israel.
Exactly. It's still illegal in Israel. It's legal only for a medical purpose in Israel. The first government around the world is Israel. They allow people to use cannabis with a license, with a medical license for that. And they started this medical thing about 2 years. It's a year. It's about a year ago. We start to get cannabis in the pharmacy and everything. But before they make an experience on us to see, we got the cannabis from the farms himself, and now we're getting it in the pharmacy.
So, Hagit, when you had chemotherapy back in 87, did that get rid of the cancer?
Yes.
Okay, but it's my understanding.
And radiation.
Pardon me?
It was chemotherapy and radiation.
And radiation, okay. But then the cancer...
And also I got bone transplant myself. How you say it in English?
Bone marrow transplant?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, however, that cancer did return, correct?
Yes, it returned about 5 years after, when I was about 26, 20, almost 27, before I got married and I met my husband. It got back, and again, I got treatment by chemotherapy, And then I was using cannabis by a license again. It wasn't a license yet. It was a certificate from the hospital that the police won't arrest me because I'm using hashish for my my cancer. And I'm having this certificate with me. And they start to say that it's not allowed in Israel to use hashish, and they start to hunt me. The police start to hunt me and the rest of the people who are using hashish for the medicine. And I really got in hell, like I'm a very criminal. And I was fighting very much against all those rules. And until 2010 in Israel, they started to talk about medicine as cannabis as a medicine, but they didn't give me. They said only people who get in chemotherapy will have a license in Israel. So I went to a hunger strike in front of the Minister of Health in Israel and explained her that people who want to use cannabis don't have to be dead under chemotherapy. And she understand that. She didn't have any other choice. And me and another 200 people got our license, and they started to talk about cannabis every day since then.
Ajit, how long was your hunger strike?
It was, my hunger strike was like a week or so till they will start to understand that I'm very serious about that. But the tent and the whole idea of this hunger strike and all the patients of Israel, it was a one all month they were there. I left after a week or so when I got my license. I was there like 3 weeks, but after a week I stopped the hunger strike because I got the license, but I stayed there and helped other people to get the license as well.
And so this license would allow you to smoke hashish, is that correct?
No, this license, they started to have a farm in Israel for cannabis.
Okay.
And they gave us a license in front of the farms in order to start, the government to start to understand how to build it. They opened the Yakar. Yakar is the Israeli agency for cannabis. And they start to build this agency in the day that I started the hunger strike. It was like in the same day it happened. And they start to establish the whole idea how to give the cannabis only for patient with the license, and how the doctor will decide the amount of the cannabis of each patient will get. So little by little, they established the rules. In the meantime, the doctors gave us the amount of the cannabis. Oncologists usually get 100 gram a month around that. Pain patient get around 60 gram around. And there was like average of the idea to see how people manage with those amount of cannabis. And it was experience about 4 years till they started with the reform, they call it, with all the license that we have it right here, right now.
Now, when you talk about cannabis, are you talking about smoking cannabis or cannabis oil?
Okay. They allow us to smoke the cannabis. People who smoke they give us the license are divided for flowers to smoke or to how you say inhalate and mm-hmm. vaporize it.
Right.
And they have in the license they give you also the opportunity to do the oil. The company make the oil mixed with olive oil, but at home, we know how to do the Rick Simpson oil, whatever the street working say, mm-hmm. or how to instruct the cannabis. You know, we know how to do it because we used to get it from the companies, but they stop it. We don't have it anymore.
So were you, when you went through that last bout of cancer, were you using cannabis oil?
Or I'm just using cannabis by smoking, because I love to smoke, and I'm smoking without any tobacco. I do vaporizing, and I do the extract of oil.
Now, when you take the oil, how much do you take?
I'm treating myself with the oil daytime and nighttime. Daytime, I'm doing more on the CBD and less on the THC. I do have THC all the time because I like the THC, because I understand the power of the medicine of the THC. Mm-hmm. So in the morning, I'm smoking no tobacco. Yes, I'm smoking my bang with sativa. And then I take oil, so like half a gram of oil during the day with more CBD. And from afternoon and the nighttime, I'm taking the oil more on the THC, and I'm still smoking. So I'm using around 5 grams a day with the oil and the smoking.
Are you getting high?
Not anymore, because I know my body got used already for this treatment. I'm using cannabis 35 years on a row with never stopped. I never stopped. I didn't care. Even when they tried to arrest me and everything, I told them I don't mind anything. I won't stop using cannabis. So for me, there is sometimes a strange that I don't know, my body don't know, so I can tell you that I get high. But after a day or so that I'm using the same strain, I'm getting used to it right away.
Boy, if I took as much as you did, I would be asleep for a week.
Yes, he would.
To tell you the truth, in 2013, when I discovered the understanding of the power of the instruct of the oil, I went to the Ministry of Health and I explained her, and I showed her that if we use a lot of cannabis, doesn't cost us any problem, or it doesn't make you dead or anything else. And I was treating my cancer only with the oil. So the third time was the example to show that the power of the cannabis of treatment. I had like about 5-6 lamps around my body, and they all got smaller fast with the oil. I understand how to treat myself. It was about my husband is around. Can you help me, my husband, to remind me how we did it? About the treatment with the oil. Okay, so I sleep a lot. I use a lot of THC all the time. And it took me about 6 months, little by little, to check out all the big lumps that I had.
Oh, so you got rid of all the lumps within 6 months using the oil?
Yes, some of them are still in my body, but they are not affect me. They are not I have a chronic cancer. So if I stop using cannabis, right away it starts to spread all over the body. Because I'm using cannabis and I know how to use it every day, the amount that I need, I believe this is a way that I'm keeping it away. And it's not it only my believing. I show it, the doctors see it, and everybody see all the every 6 months I'm having a checkup in the hospital, and I have in the lung, in my left lung, non-Hodgkin lamp, and it's still there, but it's not doing anything.
Hagit, what are your doctors saying?
They said, thank God that you're still alive. Actually, some of them are really amazed the way I'm treating myself and the way. And even sometimes the Minister of Health invited me to talk to the doctors that are going to prescribe a license to the patient. So I'm talking to those doctors and explain them how cannabis helped me and how important it is for them to continue to give cannabis as a medicine, because cannabis is not the first line of treatment. It's coming on the last line of treatment. So the patient here in Israel have to show that he took all kind of treatment that the Minister of Health offer on his disease in order to get a cannabis. So for us, it's like the last row to get cannabis as a treatment. It means you have to prove that all the rest of the medicine didn't affect you. And I did proving that I took so many pills and I weigh about 45 kilo. I was very, very thin about 7 years ago. And they were saying that I get like a few months to live. And they keep gave me OxyContin and they keep gave me all those opiates. And I kept losing weight, losing the willing of living. I was very weak and I didn't have, and I understand the difference and the power of having health on the side of laughing and on the side of having a quality of life and food and stuff like that. So I had this decision on the point when the doctor told me that in this way, I'm going to have like about 4 or 5 months to live. So I look at him and I exposed to the RSO and the understanding of the power of the thing. I look at my husband and we look at each other and we decided, that's it. I'm going to stay alive again, but I'm going to stay alive like to give other people power to want to stay alive, because cancer, it's a death disease, but you can stay alive with it.
So you were given 4 to 5 months to live. When was that? What year was that?
In 2013. I was hospitalized about a month or so. So I brought the cannabis into the hospital. I explained to the doctors how important is the treatment along. Little by little, I went around the hospitals and explained people. And it's make me stronger to talk to people and to explain and to break in through doors that was closed before for us as a medical cannabis user. And little by little, I changed my diet. I started to eat only vegetables and fruit. I start to take some more vitamin C. I start to take care of what I'm talking, what I'm listening, what I'm eating. I moved out of the middle of the city, Ramat Gan. It was a city like I was in a building and a lot of noise and stuff. Mm-hmm. I went to a village 6 years ago and I decided I'm going to stay alive. And here I am.
Your story is really interesting because several weeks ago we talked to a young fellow who told us the story about his dad. His dad had Burkitt syndrome, which results in cancer and a 6-inch tumor on his spine. And the doctors got most of the tumor, but he underwent extensive chemo and I believe radiation, but I'm not sure.
I think he had radiation as well.
I think it was chemo. Yeah. But when he was in the hospital, because cannabis is legal in Canada, the family made oil and brought it into his father, and his father got through the chemotherapy treatment much better than other patients did.
Exactly. You can see it in the hospital. You can see that people are using cannabis, even with the oil, even with the smoking, even with the vaping. You can see the color of the skin of the people. You can see the way they move around. They can, you know, the bones are not hurting as much as opiates are right away. It's like affecting on the bones and affecting on the... So you can see the difference on the painkillers that people are using. You can see the difference of the way they move around the hospital. You can see how the treatment is affecting them compared to others. because on the cannabinoid system on our body, when you use the cannabis and you open it up, it's really help other medicine to, instead of blocking you, to help your body to reduce all the power that he have to heal himself. So if we are giving the body all the tools to heal himself, it will do it. It will be our body. It's a very fine machine, and the cannabinoid system is a very good system that help us mentally to fight any disease.
You know, you said something earlier, which I think is really, really important. And Corey has mentioned this innumerable times over and over again about changing your diet when you have cancer. And so many people don't change their diet and they suffer the consequences of it. But you and other people we've talked to who have overcome cancer and have been successful in overcoming cancer have done, besides cannabis oil, have done an holistic approach and changed their diet and started eating foods which are much healthier for your body.
Exactly, and much easier for the body to ingest it. Means if your body is sick and producing cells that killing you, you can give a food that help to kill you. You have to figure out and understand your cancer, because there was like 20 million kind of cancer and 20 million kind of, because each body is a different body. That's why there is a different kind of cancer. That's why we are learning about different kind of cancer every day, because each human being is a different and he is developed his own cells to attacking cells. So the doctors are amazed and learn about, and each of us are eating different kind of food that our body develop the protecting from this kind of food or from kind of poison that they put on our food or kind of things. So each body is acting differently. So we learn that this machine as body know how to protect ourselves. So if we eat less and if we put the energy of health, the situation, the body have the power to do it.
Hagit, if you had had access to cannabis oil the first time you went through the cancer you had, would you have chosen to do radiation as well, knowing what you know now?
No, never, ever. First of all, because it was underage, my mother was decided for me. But if it was my decision, I would never do anything to kill my body in order to get healthy. Because chemotherapy, I don't believe that it's a cure for cancer. And I don't believe that radiation is a cure for cancer.
No, create cancer is what they do.
Exactly. That's what my second word was. I learned that chemotherapy make me the COPD, make me fibromyalgia, make me bone problem, make me a lot of problem that I didn't had before. And I know for sure high blood pressure, and I'm 52 years old and I have more disease than 80 years old person have, and all of that because of the treatment.
And this is the thing, Hagit, you know, if I may interrupt here for a second, this is the thing with chemotherapy and with radiation. Often I don't think that people understand that this treatment that you have will change your health as you know it for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
It's an ongoing gift. It just keeps on giving.
Yes. And also I lost all my teeth. I lost all my jaw. They build up my bone in a jaw and they build up a new teeth because I lost everything. And they couldn't even fix what I had. And, you know, things are happen little by little, and you see how the people, well, they don't take it for idea that people will survive after this kind of thing. And we, some of us still survive. And it's funny to see that the doctor look at, like, you survived that? It's like, mm-hmm. they look into my papers and they look at me and I was like, okay, this is a machine. It's not a woman.
Well, you're 52 years old. We'll have to come to your 60th birthday party.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And in Israel, we know how to do it, to make Woo-hoo. Parties.
that's right.
I promise you that. Actually, we have in Israel, we have every year the Canatech. I don't know if you heard about it. It's a very big convention that we are invited people all over the world. And this year they invited me to talk and to tell my story with all the professors and all the scientists around the world. And I'm so excited about it. I sent you, Corey, on the messenger, the thing. And I'm in the list in the agenda of treatment and cannabis around the world. And it's for me, it's like I never, if you told me 35 years ago, before I went to jail, then I'm going to be speaking about cannabis in the international convention. I will tell you that I would like to take what you took.
Well, if they ever ask you, there's no documentation about success rates of cannabis. You tell them that in Cannabis Health Radio, we've interviewed over 250 people who have used cannabis successfully.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So we are a very big club spreading around the world. If you see it, and it's so important what you're doing. And for me, you don't believe how excited I am that I'm talking to you. And it's like outside of Israel, that it's not inside locally things, that the things are happening around and we are getting bonded and we get to know each other. And it's not something that it's like you read about. It's like you meet it. It's here. It's I can't even explain how, for me, it's an honor to tell you to have been in the 1980s, a girl that said that cannabis cure cancer. People told me, listen, you are too stoned for us.
The queen of hashish in 1987.
Exactly. And I was like, I don't care. I know exactly. I know. Because in 1966, somebody said that cannabis cure cancer. I believe him. I believe him more than you.
Agit, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. You have a wonderful story, and I know by taking cannabis, you are going to be in good health for the rest of your life, which is a long life.
Yes, thank you so much for that. And I hope to see you, Corey, around the world with us, talk about our health and talk about our mission to give cannabis to each person that would like to have it for his own condition.
Yeah, that would be great.
Great. Thanks, Agit. Yes. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. And I hope to see you in Israel in one of those conventions or anything else. And hope to see you in my birthday, we said.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Thanks so much, Agit.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. If you'd like to make a donation, we love donations because there haven't been many lately. You can make a one-time donation to Cannabis Health Radio, or you can make a monthly donation, even as small as the price of a cup of coffee, to cannabishealthradio.com. You can just go on our website, and there are links there to allow you to do that. And thanks to Ron Zahar, our producer, who gives up his time and his studio to allow us to interview these folks around the world on cannabis. And a shout-out to Mark in Belgium, who posts our podcasts on YouTube. We greatly appreciate it. And if you are listening on your social media platform, of course you will be, because that's how you listen to. Make sure you write a review, because if you write a review, we go up in the standings, I guess.
Yeah, and we're easier to find for people then.
We're easier to find for people. Thank you, Corey.
You're welcome.
And we'll be back next week with another edition of Cannabis Health Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.